This morning we're noticing the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This morning we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17. General subject for this morning and for tonight's service is the preacher and preaching the gospel. The preacher and preaching the gospel. We have noticed in verse 14 that Paul has stated a principle of God. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. This is a statement, and no one can deny that it is a statement that is easily understood, and it is a statement that didn't apply only to the Corinthians, but its application is to this church. This application is to me. The application of this statement is to every New Testament church from the book or the church of Corinth to this day and age. God has ordained that those people who preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. But Paul said in verse 15, I have used none of these things. Now he has mentioned his authority, his right, his privilege to marry and to have a Christian wife accompany him in his travels among the churches. Also, he mentions and has in mind the authority or the power to go into the homes of those who are Christians and say, I'm hungry, I need something to eat. Or to go to them and say, I am in need, I want you to help me. Paul said, I have not done any of these things that I've mentioned previously. He also said, I've not received a salary from you people at Corinth while I was there serving you. Paul said, I'm not writing this letter in order to get you people to feel badly and to receive an offering and give it to me. Paul said, I wouldn't receive it if you did. And then you'll notice that in verse 16, he states, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Why did Paul preach the gospel? He did preach the gospel. I think it's important for us to notice that. Here's not someone who said, I am called of God to preach, but then continued giving his life to every sort of secular activity. Paul didn't say, when things are all worked out, when I have reached a certain place financially, when my children have all finished school, grade school, when they finished high school, when they have finished college, then I will give myself to the ministry. God called Paul, and Paul answered immediately with a commitment that never wavered. Paul preached the gospel. He's an example of those who are called of God. He is an example to all of us who say, God has called me to preach. We can learn from what Paul did. Paul preached the gospel. He didn't simply speculate about his occupation. As men often do, he did not say, "If I were a preacher." Paul said, "I preach the gospel." And when a man can say, "I preach the gospel," there's a great difference in his saying that and saying, "Well, if I was a preacher." That's like after you've been to a physician saying, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, if I was the doctor." And I wonder how many people were saying right this morning, "Well, if I were president of the United States." Being president of the United States right now is a fearful thing. And preaching the gospel right now is a fearful thing. It's not just something that you can say, "Brother, I'll do this," and "Brother, I'll do that," and "If you don't like it, you can lump it," or "I'd go out and I'd do this." Listen, you don't know the burden of being a preacher unless you can say, "I preach the gospel." How often do we hear preachers condemned for preaching for money? But I'd much rather a preacher would preach for money than he'd quit preaching for money. A guy says, "Hi, I'm a preacher, but I'm going to quit preaching for money." I think it's a lot better to keep on preaching if you just preach for money than it is to quit preaching so you'll have money. And I think I stand on the Word of God when I say that. Paul said, "I rejoice when the gospel's preached, whether it's preached out of contention, whether it's preached out of strife. If the gospel's preached, I'll rejoice." And men who preach motivated by money are better than men who preach, or rather who don't preach and are motivated by money. Life of me, I can't understand a man saying, "I preach for all I get out of it as far as money's concerned." I have to believe he doesn't really know the business yet. You know, there are a lot of people say, "Boy, I tell you, those preachers just get a lot of money we don't know anything about." I wish, you know, I'd be happy to get some of that. He said, "Well, they get hundreds of dollars on the table." I don't even have the table to get it under. Maybe that's my problem. I've not learned to do that yet. He said, "Well, they don't pay income tax. You know, they have all these tax breaks, just like everybody else. Just like everyone else." If I were a preacher, Paul isn't saying, "If I were a preacher," or "When I surrender to preach." None of these speculatory statements, but Paul said, "I preach the gospel." But he said, "I can't glory in it. I have nothing to glory of. Preaching gives me no ground of boasting." Why couldn't Paul brag about what he was doing? I rarely ever meet Baptist preachers who can't. Paul said, "I have nothing to boast of. I have nothing to glory in. I can't glory. I find it to be an impossibility. I am prevented from glorying." And Paul was prevented from glorying or boasting in what he did for two reasons. One was necessity, and the other was fear. Two things existed in Paul's thinking, in his understanding of his call to preach. Two things kept Paul from boasting, and they were necessity and fear. What do we mean by necessity? Is he talking about money? No. Is he saying, "If I don't preach, then I'll not get my check, and so it's necessary for me to preach"? No, he doesn't have that in mind at all. He's just denied that he would ever exercise his right and power to receive a salary or remuneration from the church at Corinth. He received it from Philippians and from other churches, but he said, I never did take a penny from the Corinthian brethren. Paul is not saying, well, if I could get along financially without preaching, I'd do it, but it's just necessary for me to preach. The word necessity means force or constraint. Paul said, I am compelled to do so by my master. I am compelled by my servant-master relationship to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have any argument to make because I am a servant. I am a slave, literally. And Jesus Christ is my master, so I can't say, well, I think I will or I think I won't. He is my master, and he has commanded, and therefore I must, by compulsion, by the compelling statement of my Lord, I must. I am compelled. I am constrained by the will of one who owns me to preach the gospel. And then he says, yes, woe is unto me. Now, the word woe really doesn't have in it any threat from the viewpoint of its interpretation. It has in it the idea of, I know I'll pay for it. I know that God will in some way reach me. I know that I have suffering and I have a lot of things to do or a lot of things are going to happen, and I can just say, woe is me. That is, alas. I know that something fearful is in my future, and it'll be immediate if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. A woe is unto me. That is, if I don't preach, woe is unto me. God will allow something to happen. It comes even from the Hebrew and from the Greek. It is a statement of beware. There's something that'll happen. Woe is unto me. I think Paul is saying in these two statements, necessity is laid upon me. A woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I believe Paul is saying, I am a slave. If a slave does not do as he is told, he must suffer the consequences. Can you imagine these days and times that we're studying about now, when the life of a slave could be taken and there was never even a question from the state? You'd get in more trouble right now for shooting a dog than these people got into when they killed a man who was their slave. You know, you might say, I believe this dog's old and sick and hurt. I believe I'll just take him out in the woods and shoot him. Well, there are people who would tell you that's cruel and you ought not to do it. In fact, you might get into trouble with the law from the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There were no such societies in the days of Paul the Apostle. And slaves could be blinded. They could have their eyes burned out. They could have a hand cut off. They could be mutilated in just about any kind of fashion. They were owned body and soul, if there was such a thing as owning a person's soul. They were totally and completely at the mercy of their master. And Paul is saying, I am a slave and Jesus is my master, and he has commanded me to preach and I am constrained to preach. And if I say I will not preach, then as a master, woe is unto me. It wasn't that Paul was not free to preach or not to preach. That isn't the issue. Paul said, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And if I do it unwillingly or against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." He's simply saying, I did not choose and I do not have a choice. It is not preaching or not preaching that is my choice. Paul said that is not under consideration at this particular time. What is under consideration? Taking pay. Now, Paul said, I am not free to preach or not preach. But I can say I won't receive money from the Corinthian church. That is my freedom, and I can glory in that, but I can't glory in preaching because I am constrained to do it. Two things constrain me, and that is the compulsion and the fear that I feel. Willingly. Paul said, if I do this thing willingly. This word means of free will, voluntarily. I have a reward, and the word reward literally means hire or wages or pay. Now, I've heard people say, if a man preaches the gospel willingly, then when he dies and goes to heaven, then God will reward him. But if he doesn't preach willingly, then there's a dispensation of the gospel committed against him, whatever that is. I think we misunderstand. Paul is saying, if I preach because I volunteered to preach, then I can cease preaching if I want to. I have a choice to make in regard to my preaching or not preaching if I have volunteered for it. And that's literally what he means is, if a person volunteers to work, they can just simply walk off the job. That happens. You know, we have work done here voluntarily. That is, men work. We had several men who worked helping to install our sound system, and they came and volunteered their time, and they could come and work for a while and then say, well, I believe I'll go home. I've got some other things I have to do. And we didn't say, we'll dock you pay. I said it, but I couldn't, you know. We didn't say, well, wait just a minute. What gives you the right just to get up and walk off this job? Well, it's volunteer labor. If I volunteer to work, I can volunteer not to work. See? And Paul is saying, if I volunteer to preach the gospel, if it was my thought, if it was my idea, then okay, I can quit preaching, and therefore I have a right to do one thing or the other. But Paul said, that's not the way it is. I was bought with a price. I was enslaved by Jesus Christ. I was captured by him. And that's the way he describes his experience on the Damascus Road. He says, I was seized. I was literally captured on the road to Damascus by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I became his bond slave, his servant. And I am compelled to preach the gospel. And something will happen to me if I don't preach the gospel. I didn't enter this work as a volunteer. If I volunteer to do this, then I could charge for doing it. Now notice this. Paul said, if I volunteered to do this, then I could charge for doing it. Now notice. Then if I was accused of doing it for money, I could quit doing it. That's my option. See? Paul said, I volunteered to do this work. No, if I volunteered to do it without pressure, it was my decision. And I said, I want my necessities met by the church. If someone said, the only reason you're doing that is for the money, Paul said, if I'd volunteered to do it, then all I'd have to do is just walk away and say, okay, you accuse me for doing it for the money, then I won't do it for the money. I just won't do it at all. And that'll prove I'm not doing it for the money. But Paul said, I don't have that option because I didn't volunteer to preach the gospel. It was not my choice. And since some of you are saying that I have come to Corinth and I am preaching just so I can fleece you and get your money, Paul said, I couldn't quit preaching because God called me to preach and I am compelled to preach and I'm afraid not to preach. So he said, I couldn't quit preaching and therefore silence those who were accusing me of preaching for money. But he said, I could have this choice to make. I could refuse the money. That's what he did. What options do preachers have when they're accused of preaching for money or manipulating for a raise or something of that nature? They're not going to quit preaching if they have been called to preach, but they might refuse it. And that would silence those who say it's for money that he preaches. I want to read from a book entitled An Exposition of the First Epistle to the Corinthians. And this was written in 1857, so it has the ring of antiquity to it. And I was especially pleased with this man, Charles Hodge, and his explanation of this particular verse because I had not seen it anywhere else. The difference, therefore, here expressed between willing and unwilling is not the difference between cheerfully and reluctantly, but between optional and obligation. He says he had a dispensation or stewardship committed to him. That is, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me, and the word dispensation means the administrator of a household, commonly a slave. Paul literally means I stand in the position of a household administrator. There's a great difference between what a slave does in obedience to a command and what a man volunteers to do of his own accord. And this is the precise difference to which the apostle here refers. The slave may feel honored by the command of his master and obey him gladly. Still, it is but a service. So Paul was commanded to preach the gospel. And if he did it with his whole heart, but he was not commanded to refuse to receive a support from the churches. Now what he's saying, listen. He was commanded to preach, and he did, with all of his heart. But he was not commanded to refuse to receive support from the churches. The former, therefore, was not a ground of boasting, not a thing for which he could claim the reward of special confidence. The latter was. He could appeal to it as a proof not only of his obedience, but of the purity of the motive which prompted that obedience. A physician may attend the sick from the highest motives, though he receives a fee for his services. But when he attends the poor free, though the motives may be no higher, the evidence of their purity is placed beyond question. What's his illustration? He's saying that a physician may have great compassion, and he may be seeing a patient and have great compassion and care for that patient. But when the patient leaves, he gives the doctor a fee. Then the patient can say, the only reason he saw me, the only reason he took time with me is for the money. Now, what can a physician do to illustrate that he's not seeing sick people for their money? One irrefutable proof that forever settles the issue, and that is that he sees them without charge. If an ill person comes to a physician and says, I'm ill, will you treat me? The physician says, yes, I'll do my best. He says, well, you're just doing it for the money. And the physician says, then don't give me any money. I'll do it anyway. That's supposed to prove his pure motive. And that's where Paul stood. He said, I'm compelled to preach. I can't just walk away from you people at Corinth and say, all right, you say I'm preaching for money, I won't preach to you. I'll show you. I'll quit preaching. Paul said, I can't do that. I'm constrained. I'm compelled. And he said, besides, if I did, a woe would be against me. That is, something terrible would happen to him. He said, I can't quit preaching, and I won't quit preaching, but I will prove the sincerity of my calling to you who question my motive. I won't take the salary. Paul's ground of glorying, therefore, was not preaching, for that was a matter of obligation, but his preaching gratuitously, which was altogether optional, was his ground of glorying. If, says he, my preaching is optional, I have a reward. That is, I can collect a fee and not be accused. But in the sense of merit in the sight of God, but in the general sense of recompense, he gained something by it. He gained the confidence even of his enemies. And Paul, we're going to notice that tonight. Paul said, what reward have I then if I don't accept this? Now notice, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Someone says, you preachers are in a bad shape. I tell you, I'm glad I don't stand in that situation as a servant of God, as a Christian. But let's look at what Brother Greer read this morning from Luke chapter 17. You know, the idea that there is a single individual who is a Christian, the idea that we're not under this obligation, whether it's to preach the gospel, we're under an obligation to serve. You say, look at Penn. He's up there in the pulpit and he is constrained to preach. And he is afraid not to preach. But I'm not under those circumstances. I'm not a servant. I'm not compelled. I'm not in that category. Well, I thank God when I leave this place, I can do what I want to do. I have an option whether I serve God or whether I don't serve God. Just let me emphasize that the commission was given to the churches, and you all believe that. It wasn't given to the pastors. The commission was given to the people. So you are the people who have the orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You are the people who have that order. I don't have that order. I have the order to preach. My calling is to preach. Your command is to go. It's not that I'm obligated and you're free. We are both equally obligated, but in different areas. You are the people who go out into Little Rock and other areas and work. Therefore, it must be you who go and what? Preach the gospel. Or witness, literally. Now notice. Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Wouldn't that be a strange thing? Just think of it. Here's a hired servant, a slave perhaps. He's been out in the field all day long working. When night falls and he comes into the house, the master or the owner of the household, the owner of the farm, said, I tell you what you do. You go sit down and prop your feet up and watch television, and I'll make supper. Is that the way it happens? All you people who are hired servants, all you people just go and sit down in the living room, watch TV and the news, and I'm the owner, I'm the master, and I'll fix supper and do that regularly every meal? I don't think so, and that's exactly what Jesus said too. And will not rather say unto him, you fix for me that I can eat. You dress yourself to serve, and you serve me. And then when I have eaten and when I have drunk, then you can eat and drink. And he said, when it's all over with, does he go through a long category of expressions of gratitude to the servant for doing all the things that he commanded him to do? He said, I don't think he does. See, there are two things that are here for our consideration. First of all, what does a servant do at the end of the day? Well, he doesn't cock his feet up and watch television while the master cooks supper. Nor after he's done everything that he's been told to do, the master doesn't call him in and say, boy, I really appreciate you doing all this, and I just want to tell you how proud I am that you've done all this. And that doesn't happen. Every day, does your boss stand at the back of the building that you work in and shake hands with you and tell you how wonderful you are and how glad he is that you came? Huh? Does he? Does your owner of the business where you work or the manager stand at the door every day and shake hands with everybody and say, boy, I tell you, you're to be commended. I tell you, it's wonderful you came today. I just can't hardly believe you'd come today. You know, it's raining today and it's cold today. I just don't understand it. It's so wonderful. But that's the way preachers do when they stand at the back of the church house and shake hands. We're complimenting people for doing what God commanded. Oh, it's you people are so wonderful to come today. And that's what we're doing. Oh, I know it doesn't look like that, but that's about what it amounts to. Hey, if I'm honest with you, don't get mad at me. You've always said you wanted preachers to be honest. Now I'm honest with you, okay? Do you ever notice how preachers can just fall over if somebody gives a $5 bill and they just jumping through hoops and, you know, just carrying on? Boy, thank you so much. You know, this is wonderful. You're a great guy. You know, Jesus never did that. He said, well, I ought not to ever tell anybody we love them or thank them for anything. Yes, we're talking about something else altogether. I'm not your master. Jesus is your master. We all have one master in heaven. That's the difference, okay? Now, notice what he says. So likewise ye, that is all of you and me, everybody, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we're unprofitable servants. That is, we don't deserve anything special. We've done that which was our duty to do. So we all stand together, don't we? You say, boy, I'll tell you, I preacher, he got it tough. He has to go to church every service. I don't have any more obligation to go to church than you do. I could probably go longer without going to church than you can and not hurt. Just be frank about it. Well, I'll tell you, that preacher, he at that church, I'll tell you one thing. I'd hate to be obligated. You are. See, I'd hate to be a slave. You are. I'd hate to be compelled. You are. I'd hate for God to say, woe is unto you if you don't do what I command you. He said it. I don't care whether I go to church or not. I'm not afraid. If you're saved, you're a fool. No, I can say, I'm a Christian. I do anything I want to do. I'll go to church if I want to go to church. I'll read the Bible if I want to read the Bible. I'll live like I want to live. I'm a saved person. I'm missionary Baptist. I'm a member of that church. But I'll not be compelled to do anything. And I'm not even the least bit afraid. You're a fool. Scripturally. You do foolishly. That's what I mean. If you know to do God's will and you're not doing God's will, you ought to be afraid. Woe is unto me, Paul said. You say, well, that's a preacher. Yeah, but I put you under it too, by the word of God. What was Paul's reward? We'll learn tonight what Paul's reward for, or reward was, for preaching the gospel, or as he appeared to the Corinthians. Let's stand together and sing this morning. And as we sing, if there's a need in your life, that can be met by this church. You say, what do you mean, a need in my life that can be met by Southwest Church? Well, I'll show you. Number one, we can administer scriptural baptism. Number two, we can be a part, we can be the fellowship, that is, the group of which you can become a part and therefore glorify the Lord by the way you live. Well, I can live just as good outside the church as I can live in the church. If that's true, you've been in the wrong church. There's something wrong with the church, or maybe something wrong with you. No one can live as successfully for God outside the church as they can live inside the church. Well, I can't. No, you can't. You don't know. There's some things you don't know. So we can offer some things as a church. We have the authority of God to do it. One of them is scriptural baptism. Another is church fellowship, opportunity to serve in a scriptural way. Sure. But another thing we've been authorized to do, and that is preach the gospel, which is the good news of Christ's coming, of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Come and trust this resurrected Christ this morning.